Well, we're traveling across the country. We're not traveling as much as Ken Timmerman, though. Normally, we catch him in the Washington, D.C. area. He's out in, I understand, Eugene, Oregon, Ken.
That's right, Jimmy. Just here for a weekend of vacation, but caught up in these momentous events in Egypt.
Well, indeed, and that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. Last week, you made the statement in our conversation together, we had better watch what we wish for. Is that still your same philosophy as you've been watching this now for another week?
Absolutely, and the more I watch what's going on in Egypt, the more concerned I am about the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. They are the only organized political force in Egypt besides the Egyptian government, and they are lurking just beneath the surface. Now, they have not reared their head at this point. The protests that we've been seeing in Egypt seem to be pretty broad-based, and there is a tremendous amount of discontent. Of people are fed up with Mubarak, and they have lots of very legitimate grievances. But beneath the surface, the Muslim Brotherhood is organized, poised, and ready to strike.
And indeed, as I understand some of the reports coming out of Cairo, that after their prayers on Friday, the Islamic prayer time, of course, they did come to the street, and Mr. El-Bardai, who used to be with the International Atomic Energy Agency, he was the watchdog for the United Nations, supposedly watching over the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction in Iran. That man basically was pro-Iranian and kept denying that there was anything going on there. Now he has returned to the country, and he says he's ready to lead these demonstrators and has a very close connection to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, this doesn't look good for what's going on.
No, but I think also El-Baradei has overplayed his hand. He does not have a great deal of popular support in Egypt. People don't know who he is on the street. He has those institutional ties that you mentioned. By the way, his wife is also Iranian. It's one of the reasons, I think, that he was always so willing to find an excuse for the Iranian regime as they were developing nuclear weapons under his during his time as head of the IAEA. But I think the real significant event, Jimmy, just took place this Saturday morning a few minutes ago when Mubarak announced that he was naming a vice president. This is the first time he has had a vice president ever, and this temporarily will resolve the succession issue. That is the immediate crisis at hand. What will happen if Mubarak dies, or what will happen if he steps down? Until about an hour ago, there was no vice president to take over in his stead. Now, the intelligence chief, Omar Suleiman, a man who I met in Cairo, actually, 15 years ago, he's a moderate, a pro-American, somebody who has cooperated with our intelligence agencies against the Muslim Brotherhood. He is now second in command in Egypt, prepared to take over should Mubarak be forced to leave the country, which I believe Obama is going to try to pressure him to do.
Ken, you're not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but can you think out loud with us a moment? Is this going to appease the demonstrators in the street, and how does he play out with the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, that's going to be a very interesting question, and I don't have an easy pat answer to that. But remember, Omar Suleiman is a general. He comes out of the military. The military is very popular in Egypt, as opposed to the police force, which reports directly to Mubarak and is considered very much a politicized police force. The military represents the nation. And you can see just in the video footage we're seeing from Cairo today that the demonstrators are swarming over tanks of the regular military and greeting them as brothers, greeting the drivers and the crews as brothers. And they are their interviews with some of these military officers saying if they receive orders to fire on the crowds, they will not carry them out. So the fact that you have a general who is relatively popular, who has been closely tied to Israel and the negotiations with Israel over a Palestinian entity in command could dampen things down, but if and only if Mubarak himself leaves the country.
Somebody said that the Egyptian military is key to all of this that's going on, and in fact, if indeed the military does not stand with Mubarak, he will fall, and it may just be a period of time before he actually does fall anyway. How's the military going to go? Does what you just reported to us indicate the military's ready to go along with the demonstrators, or are they going to stand strong?
You know, Jimmy, I think that the military is a bit fed up with Mr. Mubarak at this point. We know from some of the WikiLeaks cables that came out earlier that the United States Embassy has been warning about the succession crisis for quite some time, but they've never got any direction from the Secretary of State, from Hillary Clinton. They do not. The military was very unhappy that Mubarak was trying to push his son, Gamal, who has no military experience, down their throats as his successor. And so they were resisting that. That has created a great deal of tension. And I think that's what's really playing out on the streets today. I'll tell you what disturbs me the most, however, is the mirror image between what's going on here in Egypt today and the response, the almost immediate response of the Obama administration, pretty much in support of the protesters, and the way that they handled the pro-democracy movement in Iran in June of 2009. It is a mirror image. If Obama had responded with the alacrity, the quickness that he's responded to the crisis in Egypt, we would have a different regime in Tehran today, and we wouldn't be worried about an Iranian nuclear weapon.
What do you think that this stand by Obama is going to do to affect the Egyptian crisis?
Well, it's very strange. You have this sense that Obama helps our enemies and hurts our friends. The government of Egypt, the government in Tunisia and in Yemen, in Jordan, these have been friends of America. They've been allies with us in the war on terror. Yes, they are authoritarian regimes. Let's not mince words about it. But they have been very strong allies in our strategic goals of keeping al-Qaeda at bay and keeping the Muslim Brotherhood at bay. But it seems that the Obama administration does not have a problem with the Muslim Brotherhood ruling these countries in the Middle East. And I fear that this could lead to a very widespread upheaval, which with dramatic results.
Well, and indeed, that's how I look at the situation. It looks like to me the moderate leaders, howbeit they have been despots and long-serving in their positions of power, these are somewhat moderates. They're somewhat, to a certain extent, pro-Israel. You're looking at Mubarak, who did indeed become a part of that peace treaty signing, the Camp David Accords with Israel. You have King Abdullah. It was his father who signed the peace treaty with Israel for the Jordanians. And it looks like they're trying to take these moderate Arab leaders out and replace them with radical Islamists.
That's indeed what it appears to be happening, Jimmy, and it's very disturbing. You see, for example, the State Department has shifted our aid priorities. Since Obama has been in power, we've given nearly $1 billion of aid to the Hamas Muslim Brotherhood regime in Gaza. $1 billion to the Muslim Brotherhood in Gaza. Whereas when Christians get murdered in Egypt or in Iraq, we cannot even cry tears of shame and of compassion. So there's a disconnect here with what I think are American values and the values that most Americans hold dear.
What do you think about the so-called spread of democracy? Will Islam and the Islamic leaders of the Middle East, whether they be at the heads of state or whatever, will they allow democracy to be implemented in the Middle East, or is Islam going to prevail?
Well, here's the big problem, is that when you have revolutions driven by serious, real, popular discontent, as you had in Iran in 1979, as I believe you had in Tunisia just recently, coming on the heels of that desire for freedom and Western-style liberties that we enjoy is the Muslim Brotherhood. So the question really is, can the people who have come to the streets and forced the resignation of these authoritarian leaders, whether it's Tunisia or Mubarak in Egypt, if that occurs, can they themselves then get organized enough to resist the inevitable effort take over the country by the Muslim Brotherhood? And that's an open question right now. We just don't know.
What about, just touch base quickly with Lebanon. There were some demonstrations there, and that demonstration seemed to be against Hezbollah.
Yes, there have been demonstrations against Hezbollah, but just wait until Hezbollah takes out their weapons, and they will when the situation gets out of hand. Again, the United States has been playing a curious role in Lebanon. We've helped the pro-American Sunni March 14th movement, but not very much. And we've sort of stood aside as Hezbollah took over and appointed this pro-Hezbollah prime minister. I think the Lebanese people are going to reject the Hezbollah government. I think you're going to have a period of discontent demonstration and possibly violence or even civil war in Lebanon in the months, in the weeks and months to come.
Ken Timmerman, he is a journalist, Newsmax.com. He has articles there. We carry some of his articles on our website, prophecytoday.com. He's an author, authoring a novel that is looking at basically the persecution of Christians throughout the entire Middle East. It's entitled St. Peter's Bones. And a good friend of us right here on Prophecy Today, helping us to understand some of the events unfolding. Ken, thank you for taking a moment out of your vacation weekend to interact with us, and I'm certain we'll have conversations in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jimmy.